Our study this morning is out of Psalm 119, verses 169 to 176, the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Tav, victory over great deception. Psalm 119 tells of the profitable use of God's written word, the scriptures, and the psalm is formed as an acrostic, which means each section has a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in its respective section. Section Tav in Psalm 119, 169 to 176 explains how Scripture equips the believer to overcome great deception and review the passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get into His Word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of having the Word of God in our own language. Thank you for the privilege of having the indwelling Spirit of God to be our teacher and to our corrector, our discipliner, and also the one who empowers us to live the Word. We ask, Father, for wisdom as we get into the truth of the Word, first of all to understand it, and secondly to apply it, and that to the glory of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll look at it from the King James Version, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 119, beginning at 1 verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O God, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Okay, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible. So we're going to stay with the English Bible's numbering system for this lesson. And now we look at the translation from the Hebrew text as follows, beginning at verse 169. May my ringing cry come near before your face, O Yahweh. Yahweh is the name for God, the I Am, by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And that's the name that God utilizes when he's viewing himself in his covenant relationship with Israel. It's different from Elohim. Elohim is the name that God uses in Genesis 1 as creator. But this is, God is wearing a different hat here. He's wearing the hat of being the covenant God. So may my ringing cry come near before your face, O Yahweh. Give me discernment. Bin literally means to split between or to come between. And it came to mean to discern between items that are very close, but they're not quite the same. So give me discernment according to your words. So the big problem here is discernment. Verse 170, may my supplication come before your face. According to your promise, snatch me away. And the implication is snatch me away from danger, from harm, in deliverance. It's used of, let's say there's a bird in a trap, or there's an animal that's about to be devoured by another animal, and someone mercifully comes along and grabs the animal and pulls him out of harm's way, like pulling a little lamb out of harm's way of a wolf or a lion or something like that. But snatch me away. It's interesting that the psalmist here views being deceived as dangerous, and that's very, very true. If we have been misled by error, and we have therefore built our life upon that which is not true, is false, we are actually in a state of great danger. This is one reason why it is so important for the truth constantly to be repeated in church. There's a lot of error that exists, theological error that exists in the world. In fact, sadly, there's a lot of theological error that exists even in churches, and people are misled. So watch out, it is dangerous. So may my supplication, verse 170, come before your face according to your promise. Snatch me away from danger, from harm, and deliverance. Verse 171, May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue, verse 170, to sing of your word, for all of your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I've chosen your precepts. That's verse 173. And then verse 174, I long for your salvation, O Yahweh, and your law is my delight. Let my life principle, that's the word nephesh. Remember when God created Adam in the garden and he breathed into his life and he became a living soul. That's the word nephesh. That refers to psychological, mental, spiritual, and physical life. Everything about you that is life. So let my life principle, in other words, let everything about my life, my inner life, my inner man, my outer man, live that I might praise you. And may your verdicts help me. The word mishpat means the decisions that God makes based upon his word. I have wandered about as a lost sheep. Let me just stop there. If you're at all familiar with sheep and working with sheep, especially in Palestine where you've got wolves and lions and bears and so forth, for a sheep to be lost and to wander is a very not only a terrifying thing for the sheep, but once again, the emphasis is on danger. A lone, lost sheep does not protect itself. In fact, if you attack a sheep, I've had shepherds tell me this, what a sheep will do will lie down and he'll stick his neck out exposed in terror. And of course, that makes him vulnerable to being killed because along comes the animal that attacks him and snaps the neck. So sheep are very, very helpless. I worked around sheep when I was in high school in California, and they're incredibly dumb. I saw a sheep one time get stuck in an irrigation ditch, but instead of trying to get out, he only knew about going forward, so he kept going further, and he got deeper and deeper in the mud. I actually had to go in and pick the sheep up, and he fought me the whole way. Pick him up, turn him around, put him down, and then he knew to get out. But he didn't have the capacity to think back. I've seen sheep do this when it's hot, it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit. You'll have a sheep that'll come along and instead of going over to the shade tree, which is 15 feet away, he'll stick his head underneath the belly of another sheep and pant, thinking that he's getting cool. He doesn't have the thought pattern to say, I gotta go 15 feet over here and hide my whole body underneath the shade of the tree. They're incredibly dumb. They're incredibly helpless. They're easily frightened. So a lost sheep that wanders is a candidate for death in myriads of ways. And so this is why he says, I've wandered about as a lost sheep. Deception, notice the emphasis on danger again. Deception really leaves a person in a dangerous position. So he says, seek to find. Bakash is often used of shepherds who go out and seek to find the lost sheep. Seek to find your servant as a shepherd for his lost sheep, for I have not forgotten your commandments. So everything that we've covered so far in the Hebrew text, we're looking at as we look at the observations regarding this psalm as follows. First of all, the psalmist confessed that he was greatly deceived. He called for discernment, verse 169b. He admitted that he had wandered about like a lost sheep that is vulnerable to harm in the open country, but which has no sense of the correct direction to take for safety and livelihood provision. The solution to this needy state is described as follows. The psalmist initially cried out to God in prayer for his help out of the dangerous state he faced in having been greatly deceived. God then answered his prayer, instructing the psalmist on his truth from Scripture. Notice verse 171, which is number 3, may my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. God has to instruct us. Then as a result of understanding the truth, the psalmist obeyed that truth's instruction in his life. That's very important. Number 4 and 5 are verses 172 and 173, may my tongue sing every word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I've chosen your precepts. It's not enough to know the word, we have to apply it. Then, when the psalmist applied the truth, God helped him in reward for his obedience. And may your hand, verse number 5 or verse 173, may your hand be ready to help me,
for I have chosen your precepts. And verse 174, number 6, I long for your salvation, O Yahweh, and your law is my delight. And then E, as the result, the psalmist obtained help for his entire inner man. That's his nephesh, that's his life principle, emotional, mental, and physical life. So he praised the Lord. A couple of things. We've already mentioned this deception is harmful since it is caused by people who are selfish, who are immoral, and who have bad motives. If we've been deceived, we've been deceived by something that is contrary to God. And Satan is likely behind it, but we've been deceived by people who have been influenced by the evil one, so watch out. And also, since deception is dangerous, Scripture that corrects is actually protective. So we need to come to view Scripture exposure as valuable for protection. It's incredibly important to treat, to teach, and to expose ourselves to the truth, and sometimes repetitively so, because often we don't get it the first or even the second time around. We have to have it given to us repeatedly, because if we don't pick it up, we can actually be very, very harmed. So there's a huge contrast between using Scripture and not using it in our relationships. Failure to use Scripture leaves us spent and vulnerable to deception's great harm, but using Scripture protects and it cheers us when we relate to other people. So we need to keep that in mind. So the lesson is, once the psalmist realized that he had been greatly deceived, he prayed to God for discernment, admitting his need for direction as he had floundered about, much like a lost sheep in the open, dangerous countryside. God answers his prayer by instructing the psalmist from Scripture on the specific truth that he needed, and the psalmist aligned himself with that truth, applying it in his life. God further rewarded the psalmist for obeying his word to where the psalmist's entire man was edified and he could praise the Lord for his deliverance. So in application, if overcoming great deception begins by one's realizing that he's been deceived, and by his admitting this. Now, after writing number one there, I thought, okay, someone's gonna ask me, how do I know if I've been deceived? See, that's the big question. So, we're gonna answer that ahead of time. If we're not sure if we have been deceived, we can take the Shepherd's Psalm test. That's out of Psalm 23:1-6, for discernment as to whether we are or are not deceived as follows. Now, let me just go back to Psalm 23. All right, first of all, if we fail to be spiritually nurtured, as in verse 2a, notice he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Literally in the Hebrew, the green pastures there is the technical word for the first shoots of grass that come up in the spring. They're the richest as far as the nutrients are concerned, because it's after the snow has fallen, after the rain and so forth. So that is, and it's very easy for a sheep to eat it. Sheep are not afraid of grass like that. They'll shy away from some other things. But these are the tender shoots that are very nutritious. And he makes me to lie down, which is rest, repose. Very, very important. If we fail to be spiritually nurtured, that's a warning sign, a warning sign that we've been deceived. B, if we fail to find peace in our lives, notice he leads me beside still water. Sheep are afraid of moving water. Danny LaPlante in our church used to have some sheep. He might even still have some. And he says, you can take sheep, and if there is a little stream, a puddle, 6 inches wide, but the water is moving, the sheep are afraid to go across that stream, even though you can see the bottom of the stream. They're afraid to cross that stream to the other side of the pasture, even if there's pasture land out there to eat. They won't do it. You actually have to pick the sheep up or provide a bridge, and a bridge where he can't see the water underneath him before he'll cross. And so he leads me beside still waters. Still waters do not frighten sheep, and sheep will willingly drink of still water. They will not drink of moving water, even if it's clear. They're afraid. It spooks them. So there also has to be peace in life. C, if our inner man fails to be built up and nurtured 3a, he restores my soul. The word soul is nephesh again. He builds it back up. If we're not having our soul built up, our inner man, but we're constantly being torn down, that can be a sign of being deceived because we're not being shepherded by the Lord. And if our paths in life very obviously fail to align with Scripture, the last part of verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word path is actually a well-worn wagon rut. Lewis mentioned this last night in his address that we had at the banquet. A wagon rut is generally quite straight, but it's very obvious. When God leads, he doesn't lead us in a way where it's a guessing game. God is very clear. You can ring a gong in your right ear. He's very, very obvious. And it's a way that is obviously right. It's right in every way that you can look at it. It fits Scripture. It fits the recommendations of multiple godly counselors and so forth. God does not play guessing games with his people. He tries and seeks to be extremely clear. That's one of the signs that we're being led of. If it's not extremely clear, that can be a warning sign that we're into something that is wrong. And then finally, if we're not, okay, all of these things together, if we fail to be spiritually nurtured, as in verse 2a, if we fail to find peace of life to be, if our inner man fails to be built up and nurtured, as in verse 3a, if our paths in life are very obviously failing to align with Scripture, as in 3b, we are not being shepherded by God, but we have been deceived and we need discernment from him. You notice all these things that David mentions in verses 2 and 3 are because the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is not my shepherd, these things are not true. So those are signals. If we take all of these signals together, that's an indication we're not being shepherded by God. If we're not being shepherded by God, and we've come to believe something and it's obvious, those are signals that we're not getting the information from God. We need to be shepherded by God. So, number 3, the believer then must pray for God's instruction, and God will use Scripture to give the insight the believer needs to rectify the situation. However, this insight of necessity must involve the believer's correcting his unbiblical paths in life, bringing himself into alignment with God's will in Scripture, to which God responds in blessing the believer, and that in turn, of course, leads to the believer's praising the Lord. So, keep in mind, deception is dangerous. It really is, because we can set our lives and actions, even what we do with our money, what we do with our relationships and so forth, we can send them in the wrong direction, and then we're setting ourselves up for real destruction. What we need to do is, when we recognize that we have been deceived or we are in deceived, and a situation of deception, because we recognize God is not the one who's leading us, because the telltale signs of God's leadership are completely absent, then we pray to God for help and pay attention to his word and get into his word, and then the Lord can lead and the Lord can really direct. Okay, this is the last letter of Psalm 119, section Tal, but it's one of the most important ones, of course. This is an area of tremendous need. Even pastors have this. When I graduated from seminary, I had an inkling that something wasn't right, but I didn't know what. I didn't really understand what my job description was or anything. Didn't know the direction in life. And so through the school of hard knocks, I had to learn that Revelation 3:14 to 22, the message of God to the Laodicean church actually applies to this era, and it applied to me. And when I understood that passage, everything became crystal clear, and it was a tremendous privilege. But the Lord taught me through that I'm going to have to watch relationships, I'm going to have to watch what I do with my time, what I do with my thinking, how I handle his word and everything, and life as really settled down as a result of that. So, got to watch it. You can fall for deception, and there's a tremendous amount of error that is out there. And it's even being taught in many times by people who are not aware that it's error. there are many pastors that I know who are promoting that which is erroneous. And it troubles me deeply because the people are sitting back there and they're taking this in, and it's not true. And we need to be careful. But we do have the Word of God. And thankfully, the Bible treats every believer as a believer priest. You are a priest and actually a king priest before the Lord. You have the power, you have the Holy Spirit within you, so you can discern, you can come to know the truth. And what a teacher like me does in just sharing the Word of God is actually ratifying the truth that instinctively the Spirit of God has already provided. And you should be, if I'm ministering the truth, inside something in you, the Spirit of God within you is going to be indicating that's right. He's right on, and you'll be able to ratify it. If I'm off the wall, you'll pick that up too. And the Spirit of God will warn you. We know that from 1 John chapter 2. So you have the capacity, you have the Spirit of God within you if you're a believer to understand the truth and to discern. So I would encourage you to rely on the Spirit of God as you read the Word of God, and you can get to know it. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. It could be on the psalm itself. Doesn't have to be if there is something else that is